Good morning. This is Mike Mullins. I'm your host for the Socially Responsible Investing Show here on AM 950, The Voice of Minnesota. Glad that you're with us. Sounds like we are having an interesting weather day today. Hope you didn't have any big plans because, you know, they might be, you might have to change them. You know, this show is about investing. We call it the Socially Responsible Investing Show because we look at investing and all the areas of investing in the marketplace, securities investing I'm talking about in this particular case, but through the lens of a socially responsible point of view, a point of view that intends to see the world as changing right before our eyes. It's becoming much greener in a lot of ways. We'll talk more about that. And we want to help people become better investors by aligning their values with their money so that they can improve their world, so you can improve your world, one ethical, responsible choice at a time. That's not just about securities. Investing has a lot to do with everything that we do when we give of ourselves to everybody from members of our family to our community and certainly investing. And when you can line your values up and think about what's important to you and try to be proactive and bringing your values to bear in the way you live your life, including your securities investing, I think you'll be better off. You'll have a more successful sense that you've applied your values to your life and you're living life the way you want to. On this show, we talk about different aspects of the green revolution and how you can invest in various socially responsible, sustainable, and green industries and companies. And there's a little bit of a framework that I've informally followed talking about the what, where, when, why, and how of socially responsible investing. And certainly when we talk about the what, we're talking about companies and industries that can be perceived as being life-giving in society, avoiding things that are life-robbing potentially. We talk about what industries in our show where you might look to invest. In the show over the last 3 months, we've talked about water quality and water quantity a couple of times. We've talked about the Healthcare Reform Act and where in the pharmaceutical industries and the biotech industries we can look for the best bargains. And, of course, because of federal regulations, I cannot mention particular companies or mutual funds or securities names on the air. That has to be done privately, and I appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation with you personally so we can talk about which of these may be the best fit for you. There's a suitability issue that's very, very important for everyone to recognize. We talk about when to invest in these industries. You know, we talk about how important it is to see investing as separate from your savings. I've talked about my bullseye rules, where you're at the center of the bullseye is your everyday lifestyle. The first ring out is your cash and your reserves, where no stock should go. And second ring out is your investment ring, and that's where we want to focus on the long term. So when we talk about when should you invest, you should invest when you have at least 5 years to be in the stock market. You need at least that much time to be able to put up with the ups and downs. And even then, it's not just a matter of throwing money into the market and hoping for the best. You have to be a little bit more specific. The why of socially responsible investing, we talk about that when we talk about the topics such as the dearth of quality drinking water in many parts of the world and what can be done about that and what industries are working towards that, how we as investors can support that effort and make money at the same time. And then finally, the how, which we really haven't talked about much. How do we do these investments? Should we be using individual stocks? Should we be using mutual funds? Should we be using, annuities? There's a lot of different products out there. And frankly, I know from 25 years in this industry that a lot of you that are listening to this right now own a lot of those kinds of products. And I would not be too far afield to say many of you really don't have that much of an idea of what it is that you own. I don't mean what's in the securities that you own. What are the vehicles? How do they work? What are the advantages and disadvantages? Investing actually is quite personal. It's the kind of thing that doesn't come up at parties. It doesn't come up in casual conversation. People don't talk about it. Why do you think that is? You have your reasons. I have my reasons. But my observation as a financial professional, as a financial consultant for 25 years, is that people are kind of embarrassed a lot of times. They're a little bit embarrassed about, or a lot embarrassed about, what they don't know. Did I pick the right vehicle? If I picked a mutual fund, did I pick the right fund family? Did I pick the right fund within that? What if I'm wrong? What if somebody looks at what I've done and they think, boy, is he a jerk. Boy, is she nuts. She doesn't have any idea what she's doing. Unfortunately, a lot of that kind of sticks, doesn't it? So today we're going to talk about the hottest new, the freshest new face on the investment scene, exchange-traded funds. There is a, you know, they're called ETFs. You probably have run across this. It sounds like one of those jargony deals that people throw out. But this is a chance for you to learn today about what an exchange-traded fund is, what the features and benefits are, and why these are such a good way for socially responsible investors, people looking for sustainable and green companies. What a terrific way to get at that part of the marketplace. Our guest today is Darren Young. He is a senior manager for the exchange-traded funds and notes desk with RBC Wealth Management here in Minneapolis. Darren, how are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Sorry for that long introduction. I know you had other things you could have done while I was talking, but that's the way it is. So, Darren, you're an expert in this area. You are the senior manager on the exchange-traded funds desk at RBC. What does that entail? How do you have a credibility here with exchange-traded funds? Pardon me for being so blunt.
Well, I've been in the industry for over a decade, but really doing this job certainly for three-plus years as a way of background, and I think it applies to this call, is in some of our conversations comparing ETFs to mutual funds and other vehicles, is I was an analyst, too, for almost 8 years of actively managed mutual funds and separate accounts. But my role here today in ETF is really wearing a lot of different hats, but helping advisors and clients figure out a growing universe, and we can talk about that, the evolution of the universe and how it's changed quite a bit in the past decade, a growing universe of choice. And this kind of goes back to the idea of the burden of choice, trying to navigate a growing universe and figure out how can I use these products to fit what I'm trying to do with my goals and objectives. So I'm really here as a resource for the financial advisors and clients of RBC.
Well, I appreciate that. And by the way, I want to tell people listening, Darren is willing to and happy to take calls today at 952-946-6205. We're talking about investing vehicles, all right? We're talking about a kind of a mutual fund called an exchange-traded fund, and we'll get into that a bit more. Actually, that's probably not quite accurate. It's a fund. It's a way to invest, and it's 952-946-6205 calls for Darren. So, Darren, what is an exchange-traded fund?
Yeah, great question. Let's start off there. If I had to summarize what an ETF, define it in one sentence, I would say an ETF is a portfolio of securities, could be stocks, could be bonds, other types of securities, that trade like a stock intraday on a major exchange, and you can buy it and sell it throughout the trading day. So having said that, there are some pros and cons. I think if you compare and contrast ETFs versus traditional mutual funds or closed-end funds, certainly some differences there. But if I can go into the advantages a little bit, how does that compare and contrast? Number one is transparency, and I think this is very, very big. Certainly, as it applies so maybe perhaps some of the listeners, and you want to know what you own. I think it was Warren Buffett, and I would hate to misquote him, but one of his sage words of advice was, know what you own, understand what you own. And that's the beauty of open-end or continuously offered exchange-traded funds or ETFs, is that the portfolio is transparent. You can see what is in the portfolio today. So you can judge for yourself, for example, if you want to buy a socially conscious or environmentally conscious ETF and you want to take a look at, for example, the criteria of how they choose, does it agree with your own subjective definition, perhaps, of what qualifies for that? So transparency is huge, especially in this day and age. I think that's a huge advantage. Mutual funds, for instance, many of you may have mutual funds owned in your own taxable accounts or your IRA or your 401ks, are different for various reasons. They do not have to report the current holdings, and most of them do not. Certainly, they do it 60 to 90 days in arrears. But there are some other pros and cons and advantages and disadvantages, but we can get into that as well.
Okay, let's just touch on transparency a little bit more. With transparency, from what I understand you to say, is that if you own an exchange-traded fund, you will be able to see what's in that fund. And that happens because you can go online to the website of the company that sponsors it, and you can put in the name of the fund, the exchange-traded fund, and click on the holdings tab, presumably, and you'll be able to see everything that's in there that day. Now, that brings up an interesting point. How often do exchange-traded funds trade the individual stocks or bonds that are in their portfolios? I mean, do I need to look at it every day to know what's going on?
No, I don't think so. It depends on the individual ETF. We have vast majority of products out there are passively managed. They're designed to replicate an index, and depending on the index, they may not change their constituents or rebalance at all, maybe quarterly, maybe semi-annually, maybe even annually. So, no, I certainly wouldn't be one to be checking all the time and trying to figure out what they're doing within the portfolio. You buy it because maybe the initial point and where you do your due diligence is to, at that point, understand what they're buying, what the underlying index does. And I think that's the reason you do it. There are ETFs today, and we'll talk about this perhaps later, that are a little more active in the trading. But again, at least the underlying methodology and the underlying index are completely transparent. So back to your first point, that's the beauty of the Internet today. You can go out to the sponsors or distributors' websites, and most of them do a tremendous job of telling you all the holdings, down to the every last one, and including the allocation percentages, and also the underlying indices. So again, if you have a passively managed ETF, just like you have some passively managed mutual funds, you can also go down to the index provider level and get a better idea for example, what sort of environmental, social, or governance criteria do they use to construct the index, and is it market cap weighted by size or equal weighted?
Right, right. So the difference between active investing and passive investing is what?
Passive, there are many types of definitions, but really if you are a passive investor, you believe in indexing. You can create indices in different ways, but you want exposure to, for example, the entire or larger size domestic stocks. You could say, I just want exposure to the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. And the way the S&P 500 is constructed based on market caps, the larger sized companies have more size, obviously, within the index. Versus active, where you want to hire someone, you know, an advisor on a mutual fund or even ETFs nowadays, to say, you know what, I believe in you to go out and pick stocks or determine the allocation within asset classes and weight the stocks. You do the buying and selling for me because, for whatever reason, I think you and the resources you have from a research perspective can do that. And passive versus active, as a general term, you know, it costs more.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to pay someone to actively manage something, support their research staff, it will cost more, and we can talk about that. But cost,
right,
sometimes that's justified, and frustratingly, you never find that out until after the fact whether that was justified to pay an active manager.
Well, let's catch a little bit more about that right after our break here. We need to go to break here, and we'll be right back. This is Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. You can call in at 952-946-6205 with questions. Right back. Mike Mullins here, announcing my new seminar, Green, the New Color of Investment Opportunity. Green is the buzzword in America today. Green building, green industries and companies, green spaces, green thinking, it's all going green. So do you wonder what all this means and how it affects your life, really? That's why I'm offering a brand new seminar, Green, the New Color of Investment Opportunity, on Wednesday, June 23rd. 2010 at 6:30 p.m. Scott Metz of Calvert Funds and I will present the information you need to understand how the green revolution is changing our world and how you can position your investments to get full exposure to the green revolution. Register today online at michaelwmullins.com and click on the link or call weekdays to 612-371-2984. The seminar is free. It's at Dunn Brothers by the library in Eden Prairie. On Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010, 6:30 to 8 p.m., refreshments are complimentary. Register right away for this unique chance to really get the green revolution.
Common Good Books has been a closely guarded St. Paul secret for years, but book lovers from all over are discovering that Garrison Keillor's bookstore is, well, above average. Conveniently tucked away in the lower level of the Blair Arcade on the corner of Western and Selby in St. Paul, and online at commongoodbooks.com. Common Good Books features an excellent selection of hand-picked books from classic American literature to the best political reads. And remember, live local, read large.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like free inventor's information? Call InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, and learn how to get your free information. Call toll-free 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225. You'll learn how to attempt to patent your idea and submit it to industry. Call 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two South Dakota tribes, the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate. The Rosebud Sioux Tribe built a tribally owned, full-service, independent grocery store. The $1 million SMSC grant in 2008 followed a similar $1 million grant that was awarded in 2007. The Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate built two district centers with their $1 million grant, resulting in expanded space for all kinds of community needs, like after-school programs, recreational programs, meetings, and religious services. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
When you think of buying or selling your next home, then you need a Duckwall team with Edina Realty and Charles Daly from iLoan. Tune into our Twin Cities Real Estate Radio Show on this station Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m. We will help answer your questions, take your comments, and have new topics and interesting guests each week. When it is time to move, remember the Duckwall team and Charles Daly from iLoan for all your real estate needs. Call us anytime at 651-344-0621. That's 651-344-0621.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
More than music, the Electric Fetus is the place to find thousands of great gifts, including unique clothing, hats, jewelry, bath products, and kids' toys, plus books. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
And we're back. Mike Mullins, your host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show with my guest, Darren Young, Senior Manager for the Exchange Traded Funds Desk at RBC Wealth Management here in Minneapolis. If I forgot to mention on the show here, I am an employee of RBC Wealth Management. I'm a financial consultant. I office downtown Minneapolis. I live in Eden Prairie, have a virtual office and my home as well. Darren, thanks again for being with us on the show.
No, thanks for having me, Mike.
Now, you've mentioned that transparency is the single most important aspect of exchange-traded funds. Why is that?
Again, it's really knowing what you own. Of course, we've seen some bad press, you know, various Ponzi schemes and things like that, so there are opportunities for some of that to go on in the world. But more of the calls I get from clients and financial advisors is people want that transparency. Perhaps they've given up on some of the active nature of investing, and they're frustrated not knowing what they own. But transparency also as another way that it's very important is when you're building a diversified portfolio, your asset allocation, you want to make sure you know what you're putting together, the various pieces, to make sure that they complement each other. For instance, you don't want to put together pieces that might purport to give you a pure play exposure to a certain asset class or certain theme, then you find out after the fact that it's not as pure as you might thought. So, again, transparency is always important in my mind.
I've also seen over the years sometimes people where I've had a chance to review their portfolios, well, they have, you know, three or four growth funds, let's say, and not really knowing what's in them, they have different names, they suggest they're different, and you look at them and you find that they all own the same 10 or 15 stocks. Everybody's got Microsoft in their portfolio. Everybody's got, you know, you name it. And pretty soon you realize by analyzing it that someone actually has a huge weighting, you know, an overweighting really in their overall portfolio because every fund they have owns, you know, the same 10 or 15 top stocks. So transparency gives a person a chance to look into that, or gives the advisor to help them to look into their funds and find out what they really own.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And again, as an analyst, I did that for 8 years on the mutual fund side. I saw a lot of that as well. And when you're putting together a portfolio, you can see tremendous overweights in certain types of stocks or sectors or industry that are unintended, for sure. You won't know about it until perhaps after the fact, after some of those holdings were reported. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even managers within the same space might be buying or selling the same name at different times. So they're kind of defeating the purpose of what they're trying to do.
So using an index as a kind of a touchstone for formulating what you're going to hold in a portfolio really is pretty smart, because you can pick out a particular index, and we're going to talk about that in detail here fairly shortly. You can pick out a particular index that represents an exposure to something you want to be exposed to. A few weeks ago, we had Janelle Nelson from RBC on the show, and we talked about the sectors in the healthcare area that might benefit from the healthcare reform bill that had just gotten passed. And one of the things we talked about was the pharmaceutical area and how and why really pharmaceutical stocks might benefit more than some other areas in healthcare from this. And we were able to look at really some subsectors within the healthcare sector, such as the pharmaceutical industry, the biotechnology industry, et cetera. And so it really gives, exchange-traded funds gives you a chance to get at these sectors. But because they're attached to an index, because they're trying to replicate an index is why. Because there's a discipline that's built in there for the fund manager. And as a result, those don't really trade very much or at all, do they?
Correct. Again, it might depend on the individual index, but they're rules-based. I mean, it's very transparent in what they're doing and how they're doing it. For example, you'll know, well, are we just allowed to purchase domestic companies? Can we buy companies outside the U.S.? Which exchanges do the stocks have to be listed on? How large do they have to be? Mm-hmm. Then you get at the allocation method. Are they going to be weighted by size or weighted by price or weighted by equal weighting or something like that? But again, a lot of these indices are not trying to add value by a lot of active management, trying to pick individual winners and losers. They're simply trying to give you a more diversified exposure to an entire theme, even if it's a more of a narrow theme like biotech or something like that. Again, it's trying to give you a diversified exposure, so there's really no need to do a lot of trading within the portfolio.
Right. And when I say trading, I should have explained for listeners. When I say trading, if you're a mutual fund manager, you have the authority, the ability to buy and sell within that portfolio of stocks as much as you want. You might own shares of the ABC Mutual Fund, but you have no control over what that manager does as far as buying and selling. The more buying and selling a manager does, typically, the more expense there is for the fund because there's a transaction cost every time you buy or sell a stock. Whereas when someone's using an index and they're basing a fund, an exchange-traded fund, on an index, really, the index doesn't change, but maybe quarterly, sometimes less than that. And a lot of times that manager will take that opportunity then to make a change. They'll kick off the company that was dropped from the index, and they'll add one that was added. But other than that, there's very little trading, and that's what I mean by trading, inside the fund itself. As a result, expenses often are much lower. What is the comparison in expenses between the typical mutual fund, we call it an open-end mutual fund, and an exchange-traded fund, Darren?
Yeah, if you're comparing apples to apples, so for example, a passive, you know, large cap ETF versus an actively managed large cap mutual fund, it could be, you know, 100 basis points or more, 1 percentage point. There are ETFs that you can get broad exposure to U.S. stocks for less than 10 basis points, extremely, extremely cheap, versus actively managed mutual funds that purport to try to add value there. There could be 1 to 200 basis points for comparable asset class exposure. But again, the taxation also would come to that, perhaps be less tax efficient on the mutual fund side.
Right. So a basis point is 1/100th of 1%, correct?
Correct.
So if we're talking about 100 basis points, we're talking about 1%. And we see management fees. I think the average management fee I see on ETFs is something like 0.59 of 1%. We would talk about that as 59 basis points. Is that about right?
On the mutual fund side?
No, on the ETF side.
Yeah, I think if you looked at all ETFs, including some of the newer actively managed products and products that give you focused exposure to commodities, that's probably about right for an overall fee. But if you look at U.S. stocks and even non-U.S. stocks, a lot of those are 25 basis points or less, so pennies on the dollar.
Well, there's one company I know of whose name I can't mention on the air that's very well known, and their big Standard & Poor's S&P 500 index fund is I think, 0.12% for management fee, as opposed to 10 times that for a lot of open-ended mutual funds. So really, when you think about the benefits of investing, part of what you want to do with investing, just from a pure money point of view, is get the best return you can. But part of the best return you can get has to do with how much does it cost for you to get it. If your fund makes 5% and it costs you 3% to get it, your net obviously is only 2%. But if you have an index that earns you 5% and your expense is less than 1%, guess what? You keep 4+%. So what it costs you to own an ETF versus an open-end mutual fund is an important consideration. And we're going to look in this next segment at some particular investment things. As we talked about, Darren, we can't mention the names, but you and I have assembled a list to go through, and we'll go through that kind of a piece at a time. And, Darren, again, thanks for being with us. The call-in number is 952-946-6205, and we will be back in just a minute.
Hi, my name is and I've been keeping a secret from my boss. I follow AM950's Twitter feed at work. I can't stop. I love the constant tweets from my favorite show hosts, advertisers, political candidates. I just can't stop Twittering. I need the tweets to make it through the day. It's better than coffee. Try it. Just type in twitter.com/AM950radio. But trust me, you don't want to get caught at work. I gotta go.
Tutoring isn't just for struggling students. Tutoring has benefits for even the most gifted students. At Wizard Academy, we motivate as much as we teach. Our goal is to help students gain confidence and learn new skills so they can excel at school, at home, and in the future. Call today to schedule a free evaluation to identify your students' strengths and challenges. Call the Wizard Academy in Eden Prairie at 952-224-2294. That's 952-224-2294. Wizard Academy, tutoring that works.
Hard-hitting interviews, news-making guests, and incisive analysis. It's on Meet the Press this Sunday. We invite you to tune in this week for the very best in political debate. Exclusive interviews with the world's newsmakers and roundtable discussions with the leaders in the fields of journalism, politics, and history. If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. Sunday nights from 5 to 6 on AM 950, the voice of Minnesota.
The best age for your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned 5 in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have 3 children, and all are reading on a high level. School is very easy. Straight A students, maybe 1 or 2 children, but all 3, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Did Kathleen have to work at it?
No, I didn't have to do a thing. Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include 3 free learning gifts with your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-585-2060. 800-585-2060. 800-585-2060.
AM950 weather brought to you now by Home Customizers. Showers and thundershowers on and off today. Look for a high of 72. Still a chance of a thundershower this evening. Cloudy overnight with a low of 57. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain, high 74. Still a 20% chance of showers Monday. Back to work with a high of 74. For window and door replacements, look no further than Home Customizers to help you get the job done right. At HomeCustomizers.com, serving the Twin Cities for over 30 years.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. And we're smack dab in the middle of our dance-a-thon to fight arthritis pain. Me, I've been grooving for 10 hours straight, baby, but I'm a boogie machine. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound, that's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, visit fightarthritispain.org. Then meet me on the dance floor. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Socially Responsible Investing Show with your host, Mike Mullins. That's me. Our guest today is Darren Young, Senior Manager of the Exchange Traded Fund Desk for RBC Wealth Management in Minneapolis. And Darren, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. We've been talking about the features of exchange traded funds, and frankly, this is a It seems so simple until you dig into it and you find out, well, it's really kind of complicated. So what we're going to do here is talk a little bit about some examples. Sometimes it helps to have examples to look at. It helps things make a bit more sense than just talking about the concepts. I asked you a few days ago to provide me with some ideas for some specific niches that would be either things we've talked about on this show or things that would be considered specifically socially responsible kinds of topics. Now, we've talked about healthcare on this show. We've talked about water, the water theme on these shows. These are issues. In the case of healthcare, it's a question of looking for good companies that are good corporate citizens. And there are a lot of those in the pharmaceutical business. Look, the fact is, whatever you think about the politics of things and how they've gone or not gone, we need drugs. We need pharmaceuticals for good health. We would be in a far worse place without the products that we have, everything from, you know, the different kinds of pain relief medicines to the things that are used pre and post-op, etc. But having said that, let's look at some of these specific things. We talked about here some weeks ago about gold and about investing in gold And since securities investors can't typically invest in the hard bullion, they need to have some representation of it so that they can get at it. And we talked about a gold trust. I can't mention the name of it here. But these gold trusts reflect the performance of the price of gold bullion less the trust's expenses. How do you see these gold trusts? These exchange-traded funds.
Yeah, I think it have become extremely popular. And really with gold, there are now several ways to go about it. You know, 5 years ago, before some of these ETFs came about, you really, unless you were willing to go buy gold bullion and buy gold coins and pay the retail markup for that, you were looking kind of indirectly to buy gold company, gold miners, common stocks. And certainly that can still be viable. But with these trusts coming about, you can get exposure as a retail investor or even institutions. You have some of the largest hedge funds and institutions buying the same product as you or I could buy. To get exposure to gold bullion through one of these trusts. So I think, again, it's a choice that has become extremely popular. A lot of people looking for some kind of a flight to quality, flight to real assets, perhaps concerned about inflation or hyperinflation or the value of the dollar, et cetera. But I think they're very attractive. The one thing I would point out with types of products that own bullion is the tax treatment. And I'm not here to give tax advice. I'd always say consult your tax advisor. But what often catches people off guard is that the IRS treats owning gold bullion or gold coins is a collectible, so a little different tax treatment than, you know, your regular 1099 on the common stock.
Okay. So speaking of the tax treatment on ETFs, the rules apply for capital gains as well as ordinary income, correct, as with any other mutual fund or security?
Correct. It would be no different than a mutual fund or owning those securities directly. You get a 1099 and any interest or income distributions would just flow through.
Mm-hmm.
But with ETFs, it's a little different because you can look at taxation at two levels. The taxes generated inside the product, which I can't go into detail here, but based on how shares of ETFs are created and redeemed, there is a structural advantage for ETFs compared to mutual funds because ETFs don't generate as many taxable events inside the product that would have to be distributed on to shareholders.
Right.
We've seen it with mutual funds in the 90s and even in the 2000s, there have been cases where you have a lot of redemption activity by shareholders created realized capital gains within the product that have to be distributed to you, even though you didn't sell your shares, and perhaps the fund lost money that year.
Yeah, I have to tell you, friends, and on listening on the air here, this creation redemption thing inside exchange-traded funds is tricky, technical stuff. And when I talk to you about exchange-traded funds, that probably won't be an area we'll spend much time on, all right? We're just going to kind of take some of these things for granted. When we look at water indexes, one of the ones we talked about here is based on the S&P Global Water Index. The S&P Global Water Index is comprised of about 50 securities selected based on the relative importance of the global water industry within the company's business model. And it's picked from a universe of companies listed on a global developed market exchanges. In other words, we don't have small developing economies in here represented. These are typically larger economies. And the index is designed to have a balanced representation from different segments of the water industry, consisting of the following two clusters: 25 water utilities and infrastructure companies, and 25 water equipment and materials companies. And, of course, there's a lot of little subgroups in there. So the index itself is pretty broad-based, but it's pretty specific. Now, this particular exchange-traded fund is based on that index and will hold the shares that are in that index, presume weighted the same way that the index has them weighted. Is that correct?
Correct, absolutely. And this has been a very intriguing area because with the evolution of ETFs and the growth, you're really able to now get these pinpointed exposures to particular themes and specialty asset classes. So you've got a choice now of four different water resources themed ETFs. This one that we're talking about happens to be kind of the granddaddy and has attracted a lot of assets. But correct, all four of the products are passively managed. So there are different index providers. They are all passively managed. And again, with the transparency, you can do your own homework, you know, some night and kind of take a look to see how they differ. I think between the products, you'll see a lot of overlap in holdings, but the weightings can often be different.
Well, and that's one of the things that I find intriguing about these exchange-traded funds that are water-themed, for example. The fact is that in the United States, only about 10% of the water utilities are actually publicly owned. I mean, the rest of them are municipal. You couldn't own a share of them if you wanted to. Whereas in Europe, it's only about 40%. And so you've got a lot of opportunity overseas. Now, this particular ETF, according to what I'm looking at here, shows your top fund geographic weightings. United States is 37%, Great Britain is 18%, France 11.5%, Switzerland 10.4%, Japan 6%. You get the idea. Not only are these all over the world, but they're different sizes of companies. This says the large company stocks in this portfolio are 16.8%, mid-sized companies 65.5%, and small caps about 17.5%. So it's interesting from a tactical point of view that you can have exposure to large, medium, and small companies and an international exposure even within a theme like this. And part of it is that, you know, it's still an emerging area. There's not that many companies in it yet compared to, let's say, pharmaceuticals, as we talked about earlier.
Correct. And it is, again, a little subjective about how we define water.
Is sure.
That the utility level infrastructure, making it cleaner, you know, desalination, what have you. So, again, looking for a diversified play, I think, is the way to do it. I look at a lot of these themes where, especially alternative energy themes or clean technology, where, you know, they're very nascent. They're in their infancy.
Right.
So it is very difficult, especially with a smaller allocation, to try to pick individual winners and losers. Me, the obvious way to do it is to take a diversified one-stop approach using an ETF.
Right. We also have the Global Clean Energy Index. This is designed to track performance of 30 of the most liquid and tradable global companies, which represent the listed clean energy universe. By listed, we mean listed on a stock exchange like the New York Stock Exchange or the London or what have you. The index includes clean energy production companies, clean energy equipment, and technology providers. For these purposes, the clean energy, quote-unquote, universe includes biofuel and biomass, ethanol and fuel alcohol, geothermal energy, hydroelectricity, solar, and wind energy, quite broad-based. And this exchange-traded fund is based on looking at 30 of the most tradable and liquid global companies representing exposure to those areas. That seems like a pretty good way to go.
Correct. I agree. And, again, if you're looking at some of these more broadly diversified ETFs on the theme of clean energy or green energy, alt energy, it's really getting that exposure to all the different forms of energy, whether it's wind, solar, as you mentioned, geothermal, mm-hmm. what have you, because, again, we're kind of unsure about which ones are going to prove to be the best performers or do the best based on what gets adopted or federal subsidies, what have you, including in the U.S. and outside the U.S.
Right. So if 5 years ago you decided to bet your investment farm on ethanol, you might be a little disappointed today.
You could be. Absolutely.
Maybe you jumped a little too narrowly. The last one I'm going to talk about here, because where we are with time on the show here, is there's a Clean Edge Smart Grid Infrastructure Index, and the index includes companies that are primarily involved in electric grid, electric meters and devices, networks, energy storage and management, and the enabling software used by the smart grid infrastructure sector. We spent some time with Stuart Bush, our RBC Capital Markets person from Austin, Texas, talking about the smart grid and how that's going to revolutionize how the delivery of electricity happens in our country. And this is an index that that I think is really very cool. Because, I mean, you know, frankly, it's hard to figure out. There are companies that are involved in developing the big rechargeable storage batteries that are going to be so essential to being able to manage the energy that's produced by, say, wind farms. Because of the variability of the wind, you can't predict how much energy you're going to have or not have, and you need to be able to store it. So this would be a good way to get at that kind of technology. You know, in terms of the broad-based stuff, one thing we've talked about, and we're going to have to be quick about this, Darren, is the Sustainability Index. On my website, there is the Dow Jones SustainabilityIndex.com link. And I've mentioned this a number of times. Anybody can go to my website, michaelwmullins.com. Go to the Responsible Investing tab, and you'll be able to pull up. I have a link to that website. And sustainability is we've talked about and tried to define. We're going to continue to work on this. But this index is made up of companies that are recognized, according to whoever put this up together, companies that are viewed as being sustainable companies. There is some new indexes available that get at the North American side of this. I can't mention the symbol or the name of it on the air. But I'm looking at a list of the stocks, and it's a who's who of Minneapolis-St. Paul companies. It's amazing how many local companies are in it. And these are considered to be good, strong companies that aren't likely to surprise you or blow up on you or give you bad news of a non-financial reporting nature. Is that a good way to go, do you think?
I think so. Again, any of these themes, I think, are great ways, and again, this is the evolution, allowing clients, specifically with this interest, environmentally conscious, socially conscious, to get at those exposures with a diversified allocation. Absolutely.
That's great. Well, Darren, thank you so much for being on the show. I think we could probably take another, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours and just chew up on this stuff. There's so much talk about. I'd really encourage listeners to get in touch with me at michaelwmullins.com or 612-371-7859. Let me get you connected to the exchange-traded fund world. Darren Young is very available as far as being able to provide assistance to me in helping you find the best way to invest your money in the socially responsible investing sphere. We will take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. My name is Mike Mullins. I am your host for the Socially Responsible Investing Show. Thanks again to Darren Young, Senior Manager for the Exchange Traded Fund Desk with RBC Wealth Management, and we'll be right back. Hi, Mike Mullins here. Trying to match your values, the things you believe in, with your investment dollars can be really tough, especially with all this volatility. Are you tired of having no control over what's in your mutual fund? Do you wish you could feel great about how your money's being invested? It can be tough to know what to do. That's why I have developed the RSG Wealth Building Model based on sustainable and responsible investment vehicles. RSG stands for Responsible, Sustainable, and Green, and is your pathway to discovering strong-performing investments from many different investment managers. You can align your values with your money. With my guidance, you select which approaches, styles, and investing themes match your goals, time horizon, and risk profile using responsible, sustainable, and green investment vehicles whenever and wherever possible. Call me at 612-371-7859 for an appointment or to ask questions. You may also send me an email at michael.w.mullins@rbc.com. You can align your values with your money and improve your world one ethical, responsible choice at a time. Call me at 612-371-7859 or come see me today between noon and 1 p.m. at Dun Brothers by the Eden Prairie Library.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible, environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
The real estate market has gotten tougher for buyers and sellers. With available credit and short supply, buyers are looking for creative solutions to financing. And with home prices at near record lows, sellers need better options. Cherie Kewen of Waters Realty is helping both buyers and sellers navigate the maze and find the best decision for their unique situations. From rent to own, contract for deed, to short sales and bank foreclosures, you have options. Call Cherie Kewen of Waters Realty today at 612-865-9150.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were the Kiowa Tribe of Oklahoma and the Kickapoo Tribe of Kansas. The Kiowa Tribe of Oklahoma used their $1 million SMSC grant to purchase Indian City USA Cultural Center, which serves as a vast outdoor museum to provide visitors with a historically accurate series of reconstructed American Indian villages. And the Kickapoo Tribe of Kansas funded a new administrative center to house the tribal government. The new 26,000-square-foot facility will provide a centralized building with all major tribal departments under one roof. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
Spring is here, and that means spring cleaning. But what about your carpet and upholstery? If you haven't tried Zero Res Carpet Care yet, you need to call now. Zero Res cleans with empowered water, leaving no harsh chemical residues behind. Call now for 3 rooms, pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for just $149. Call 651-779-8888. That's 651-779-8888. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Z-E-R-O-R-E-Z. Zero Res.
Are you looking for positive, lively, religious conversation that's not quite right? Then join me, Doug Padgett, Sunday mornings from 10 till noon. We talk news and politics and faith, and we have a lot of fun doing it. Doug Padgett Radio, your new Sunday morning indulgence. 10 to noon, right here on AM 950.
More than music, the Electric Fetus is the place to find thousands of great gifts, including unique clothing, hats, jewelry, bath products, and kids' toys, plus books. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Mike Mullins here, announcing my new seminar, Green, the New Color of Investment Opportunity. You know, green is the buzzword in America today. Green building, green industries and companies, green spaces, green thinking, it's all going green. So do you wonder what all this means and how it affects your life, really? That's why I'm offering a brand new seminar, Green, the New Color of Investment Opportunity, on Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010, at 6:30 p.m. Scott Metz of Calvert Funds and I will present the information you need to understand how the green revolution is changing our world and how you can position your investments to get full exposure to the green revolution. Register today online at michaelwmullins.com, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, and click on the link or call weekdays to 612-371-2984. The seminar is free. It's at Dunn Brothers by the library in Eden Prairie on Wednesday, June 23, 2010, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Refreshments are complimentary. Register right away for this unique chance to get the green revolution. Segment four, the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. We just had the first three segments of our show were a conversation with Darren Young, the senior manager for the ETF desk at RBC Wealth Management. This is a very, very dense topic in some ways. But in other ways, it's quite simple. I'm just going to do a quick review. What are ETFs? ETF stands for Exchange-Traded Fund. It's a collection or a basket of securities that typically track a specific market index. This is different than your typical mutual fund. Your typical mutual fund probably has some kind of baseline definition that says it tracks the Standard & Poor's 500 biggest stocks in America. But it gives you no notion it doesn't give you a notion generally of how much they're going to trade or where they're going to focus, because they can kind of do pretty much anything they want so long as it's focused on the S&P 500. An exchange-traded fund focuses on a specific market index, such as the Clean Water Index, the Smart Grid Infrastructure Index, pick the index. There are more indexes than you can shake a stick at out there. They're all valid. They're all a collection of stocks that represent exposure to a particular niche of the market. They possess trading flexibility of individual stocks, which is to say that you can buy an exchange-traded fund anytime during the market trading day and buy it at the price that is trading at that time. And just like a regular stock, the price will vary during the day depending on how much trading is going on in it. Now, with a regular open-end mutual fund, that stock, if you decide that you want to buy the XYZ mutual fund on Monday and you call and give your order to somebody, it's not going to actually get bought until after the market has closed on that trading day. So if the market's, you know, up 100 points, down 100 points, up 1,000 points, down 1,000 points, and settles in at a certain point, that's where you end up buying your mutual fund. An exchange-traded fund gives you the ability to be more selective and more informed, more than anything else, about where you buy that. ETFs were first launched 15 years ago. And I'm looking at a chart of the growth in the number of people, the number of dollars, I should say, that are invested in exchange-traded funds. And it's grown exponentially over the years. It still represents only a very, very small fraction of all mutual fund dollars. We have some $7 trillion invested in mutual funds. And yet, this is getting to be more and more popular. It's accelerating, frankly, because people like the idea of being able to have a lot more control. You can get very easy diversification because you have precise control over your investment strategy. As I mentioned in the last segment, it's possible for you to own two or three or four mutual funds that sound different from different companies, and you may imagine and perhaps the financial advisor that recommended it or the TV commercial that you bought from suggested that they're unique and different. But you don't know until you actually look under the hood and find out what they actually own. And you may find that they have a concentration of, I mentioned Microsoft, so I'll stay with that, a company that most mutual funds like to own for a whole host of reasons. But unless you want to own the individual stock of Microsoft, you probably bought a mutual fund so that you could be more diversified than that, and that's very, very important. Transparency, Darren told us, was the most important thing. You have all the information you need to make informed investments. No secrets to hide. For example, you might wonder if your mutual fund owns BP. Well, if you've got the standard ABZ growth fund out there that's the largest growth fund in America, can't mention the name, you bet they own BP. And if you wanted to own something that didn't have exposure, let's say, to the large commercial oil companies, by buying an exchange-traded fund, you can pick out exchange-traded funds that exclude oil companies, or to say it more specifically, that include the kinds of industries that you believe are life-giving and life-sustaining in our society. You can buy and sell these through a brokerage account, just as you would stocks. You can buy and sell exchange-traded funds at their current market price anytime during the trading day. A very important aspect of investment is to find out how do you protect yourself from getting wiped out with your investments. A lot of people stay out of the stock market precisely because they have no control over whether or not they're going to get wiped out. You can use something called a stop loss. I've been using this tool for over a decade. It's a way on a listed stock like an ETF that you can put a floor underneath the price. In other words, if something drops 10 or 15% below where you got in and you said, I don't want to own it when it drops that far, we can put in a stop loss sell order, which will sit in the market until and if the security goes down to that price. And, of course, if it never goes down that low, then it doesn't get triggered. And the nice thing about listed security and stop losses is that as the stock price goes higher, you can move up your floor and eventually lock in your gains. There's a low-cost feature to exchange-traded funds, typically that cost about half as much as the typical A-share mutual fund, if you know what I mean. And there's a lot of tax efficiency that goes with this. This is one of those topics that really takes a lot of examination. We need to find out if exchange-traded funds are the right fit for you and your portfolio. I have no idea, sitting here on the radio, whether you do or not. Come see me today at Dun Brothers. I'll be there between 12 and 1. This is the Dun Brothers that's just across from Eden Prairie Mall on Prairie Center Drive. It's right by the library. If you've been a person that's lived here for a while, you might remember back in the day when what is the library now used to be a Lund's grocery store. Anybody out there remember that? Well, anyway, this has been fun. I've enjoyed having a chance to explore this with you. Next week, we're going to talk about the Blue Water Day. This is a Blue Water project that RBC has sponsored from Toronto. It's going to be very interesting with some very, very top guests on the show. Appreciate y'all listening today, and I will look forward to talking to you again next week. This is your host, Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, AM 950, the voice of Minnesota. We're out.